Live on American Family Radio, this is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you doing? How are you holding up? What's going on with you? I'm Peter Rosenberg, and I'm bringing you now in my 35th year as a caregiver, a lengthy amount of experience, most of it the hard way, to help you navigate a path through this journey that you're on so that we can stay stronger together, healthier together, calmer together, and dare I say it, even more joyful together. Also welcome all of our affiliates that carry the show through the Truth Network, His Radio, so many others around the country, folks in Virginia, AM 1010, WPMH, 96.9 in Suffolk, 100.1 in Norfolk. There's just a lot of folks carrying this show because there's a huge need. And I'm particularly grateful to American Family Radio for hosting this show and having us get out in front of this issue from a biblical worldview to help family caregivers. The family is under assault. I think clearly you guys know that by now. We're in bad shape, and it's an all out assault. And then we've got a big portion now of our country, if not a majority of our country, that is voting against pro-family, Christian family, nuclear family, biblical family type values. I mean, it's just there. And things such as abortion and the disintegration of a marriage and same-sex marriages and all these kinds of things, then the pathway just continues down to whatever is right in anyone's eyes, it's okay to do. So things such as euthanasia. We never dreamed that, you know, we would see this become normalized in our country. But when you have a governor that says if a child with severe birth defects is born, they're going to put the child aside and then we'll have a discussion about what to do with it. When you have people that are advocating abortion all the way up to the point of birth and then afterwards, you know, what do you say to that? And how do families with special needs members respond to that kind of stuff? How do they find a path through that when they are at their wit's end? And if we don't speak with clarity and a sense of urgency from a biblical worldview, from the foundation of the authority of the Word of God, who are they going to listen to? And in this particular issue for the family caregiver, who has largely been ignored, this particular issue of caregiving, of what it does to a family, I am so grateful that we have not allowed the world to co-opt this issue, that we have the largest broadcast for it, we have the largest podcast for it, and we're committed to speaking the clarity of the Word of God into this in a way that caregivers can understand and help them get to a place of safety. If you want to be a part of the show, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we start off with a scripture, and then I've got a trivia question for you. And this is going to be a little bit tough for some of you. Now, there's a couple of you guys that are just waiting, ready to call in with this sort of stuff. But give caregivers a chance if you can. It's a scripture from Daniel, and it was shared with me this week. And most of you all know the story of Daniel, and he was in exile, but he had risen to prominence in the government, and he really hacked off a lot of the other guys because he was faithful to the God of Israel. And a lot of the folks in the state, quote unquote, you're going to start hearing that word a lot, because when you have a humanistic point of view, the state is supreme. The authority of the Word of God is a threat to that. I was listening to watching the series of Francis Schaeffer while I've been recuperating from a knee surgery and had to have my leg propped up. And so I went back and watched How Shall We Then Live? And I highly, highly recommend this for all of you. And, you know, one of the things he said was that Christians were not persecuted and killed by the Romans because they believed in Jesus. They were persecuted and killed because they believed there was an authority that was greater than Caesar. And the Romans, they worshiped whatever god they wanted to worship. But as long as you knew that the state was supreme and the state was Caesar. And then you go along to the Reformation, and the state and the church merged, and that's when the Reformation occurred. They said, no, this is wrong. And it's the Word of God that is our sole authority. So here's Daniel, and they tricked the king into writing this decree that, you know, nobody could for 30 days or whatever could pray to anybody other than the king and pray to any other gods or whatever. It was just a trick. It was a setup for Daniel. It's Daniel 6:10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, that was shared with me and challenged to me this week because Daniel's giving thanks. He knew what the consequences were, and he's giving thanks to God about this. Now, we're in a season of Thanksgiving right now. We've got a global pandemic. We've got a high unrest in our society. We've got just all kinds of things going on. But here he is knowing that if he does this, he's going to get thrown to the lion's den. Now, the question, the trivia question is, what was the name of the king? Now, that's a tough question for most of us. Some of you seminarians are going to get that really quick. But what was the name of the king? 888-589-8840. Who was the king that... Now, the king, by the way, he was not happy when he found out about this because they immediately saw Daniel do this, and then they went and tattled on him, and the king realized, and he spent a whole day trying to figure out how could he get out of doing this, because he liked Daniel. And Daniel was set up by these guys. So he spent a whole day with this. But my point for us this morning, while I'm waiting on you guys to figure out who that king was, and try not to Google it, okay? Just, you know, if you can, go back and actually pick up your Bible and look. But Daniel 6:10, and he gave thanks. Now, my question to you is, are you giving thanks? It didn't say he felt thankful. He didn't say he wasn't afraid. He didn't say any of those things. He just said he gave thanks. How about you? Are you faced with things today, right now, that you can give thanks for? You know, I go back and look at the story of Corrie Ten Boom when she was in the Holocaust and in a concentration camp, and there were fleas in their hut. And her sister Betsy said, "We're going to give thanks for the fleas." But the guards weren't molesting the women there because there were so many fleas, and they were able to freely have Bible studies and minister and so forth and remain unmolested by these guards. But Corrie was just aghast by that. And she said to her sister, "How can you give thanks for the fleas?" The scripture says, "Give thanks in all things." That's a hard thing. I read three different Holocaust accounts from Elie Wiesel, Viktor Frankl, and Corrie Ten Boom. And the only one that came out of that with that sense of resolve of thanking God was Corrie. And it's an extraordinary experience when you thank God in the midst of whatever's going on. Now, please understand, when I say these things, I don't own it. I've been pushed in this. I've been challenged in this, and I'm seeing this, and I'm heading down this path, but I have a responsibility to share it with you as well. And together, we build each other up in this so that we can be strengthened. And in those dark moments, have you ever been laying in bed at night and you can't sleep and your mind is racing at 100 miles an hour? You're so discouraged. You're so full of despair. And have you ever stopped to be thankful and just give thanks to God for the circumstances that you're in? You ever done that? I have. And it is a game changer. It really is. We're going to talk about that more as the show goes on. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. What was the name of the king? And this is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and we're going to be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies. And with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. And aren't you glad there is a show for you as a caregiver? I'm Peter Rosenberg. This is my 35th year as a caregiver. Didn't have anything like this to listen to during some very dark, dark times for me. And so I'm committed to making sure that you have something that you can listen to, that you can hear some kind of voice in the midst of your craziness that you're going through as a caregiver to help you navigate back to a place of safety. And I'm very grateful for American Family Radio for hosting this, for the Truth Network, and for all the other affiliates that carry this, His Radio, and so forth. I am so grateful that they saw the value in this. And if we don't say this, what are caregivers going to listen to? Who are they going to listen to? Are you pretty comfortable with the world telling caregivers how to live? Because so far the world says, if you don't like something, get rid of it. This is what the world says. But what does Scripture say? And our authority is the Word of God. And if you want to be a part of what we're doing here, hopeforthecaregiver.com, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Go out there and take a look at it. If you want to help support what we're doing, just click on the donate button right there, hopeforthecaregiver.com. All right, let's go. Our trivia question is from Daniel 6:10. When Daniel, he knew that he'd been set up. He knew that these guys were trying to trap him and that they were trying to elevate the state, which is the king in those days. The state was supreme. And if you're praying to some other god, that during this time when you can only pray to the state and only acknowledge the state or the king, then you are going to get thrown into the lion's den. You're going to get killed. And he went to his upper chamber, opened the windows, faced Jerusalem, knelt down and prayed three times a day and gave thanks to God. He gave thanks. And so my question to you is, who was the king? What was the name of the king? It's an interesting question. There's also a let's go to Lasasha in Opelousas. I don't even know how to say this. Opelousas, Louisiana. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Lasasha.
How do I say that, the name of the town you're from?
Opelousas.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you say it. All right, well, good morning. How are you feeling?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing okay. Then do you know my answer?
King Darius.
King who?
King Darius.
King Darius. That's right. Now, are you a caregiver?
Kinda, yes, I am. I'm actually at work now. I'm a med trans driver for Med Express.
Let me ask you this. What are you particularly thankful for today?
I'm thankful for the ability to provide for my family and for God, most importantly, and to have a roof over my head.
Well, I'm glad. How did you do through all the hurricanes?
Everything was okay. My family lost a lot during the Hurricane Laura. But
Let me ask you a question. And how do I say your name, Lasasha?
Ladacia.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's spelled wrong on here on the thing. Let me ask you, when you say med transport, so you're transporting patients that have disabilities or aging or whatever back and forth to healthcare providers and rehab centers and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
How are you doing with that?
I love it. It's amazing.
Do you look at that as an opportunity to minister?
Yes, I do. I've actually prayed with some patients, you know. And I pray for all of them, but I prayed with a lot of them, on that transport, being moved to nursing homes, and, you know, their scary experiences.
Well, particularly with the COVID, because once you go to a nursing home, for a lot of these people, they're cut off from their families.
Right.
And you you may be one of the last few people that they get to interact with outside of the nursing home center. So you you have a very important role, and I'm very grateful for what you do. And I think, you know, it means a lot. Please don't ever minimize how important it is that you're praying for these people as you're carrying them back and forth.
Yes.
Please continue doing that, and know that that is a powerful ministry.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well, listen, thanks for listening to the show. And thanks for getting, by the way, King Darius was the king. Do you know who another Darius was in our modern day times? He's not a king, but he's the former lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish. Do you know who that is?
Darius McCrae?
Darius Rucker.
Okay, Darius. Yep. Okay, I know who Darius Rucker is.
I don't know if he was named after King Darius or not, but anyway, I just thought, I didn't know if you like Hootie and the Blowfish, but it's
I do.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much for calling. Thank you for what you do for these folks that are going back and forth these places. Thanks for the prayers that you have, and I would ask the audience to continue lifting you up in prayer to keep you safe along the journey as you're doing this, and I really do appreciate you listening to the show. Are you working today?
Yes, I'm actually working right now.
Uh-oh, well, you better get back to work now. All right.
Yes.
Well, listen, okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling. Damon in Corsicana, Texas. Damon, I know Corsicana well. Got family there.
Sure.
And they make some pretty good food down there that I have had shipped to me over the years.
Yeah.
From fruitcakes and all kinds of things.
Good deal. Yeah, they have lots of food down here. We like
Are you involved in, what is it? Is it in it? They're in the tins that they have with the fruitcake. Is that it, or is it the pie? It's the pie.
The pies, yeah.
Fresh
ones. They have fried pies and all sorts of pies.
Oh, I've had those, and you know, I love those things. Perhaps you've seen my pie newsletter that I've put out. No, I'm just kidding. Tell me what you got on your mind about this Francis Schaeffer and the question thing. Well, first off, how are you feeling, Damon? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Feeling blessed to be in a country where we have a remnant that's still praying for righteousness and truth to be upheld. So I'm encouraged, even though media says we should be discouraged, depending on what you're
looking at. Well, I have a longstanding distrust now of pretty much anything that the mainstream media says, and the pollsters and everything else. And again, when your foundation is the Word of God, that's all you have to do is just look to that. And tell me what you think about what I was talking about with Francis Schaeffer.
Well, I took that back in college, and it's weird that you asked me how I'm feeling, and we talked about the media, because we know the mediums were killed in the Bible times because they didn't proclaim Jesus, you know, the Lord, Yeshua, or Yahweh. But, yeah, and the Prince of the Power of the Air, I thought that was neat how that book showed an overview of, oh, no, you know what? That's his other book, What on Earth is God Doing, by Francis Schaeffer. The one that you're talking about, I took a class of, and it was neat to show all the arts and the time frames. I think he took it as what do you call that?
Well, isn't it interesting how things, the further it got from the Word of God, how it changed. And so this is why it brings us back to why I do a show for caregivers, because if caregivers don't have a strong philosophy based on Scripture, then we're going to get pulled in all kinds of different directions and make all kinds of different decisions for ourselves and our loved ones based on the feelings of the moment versus the authority of Scripture. And this is where we are as a society, and this is what I'm also working with caregivers to help them understand a little bit better how to apply the principles of God in this situation. And giving thanks in the midst of this is often one of the hardest things we do, because we're not necessarily thankful to have to watch someone suffer. And we're not thankful to be exhausted ourselves. But at the same time, Scripture says this is what we do. And Schaeffer, you know, and he did this so nonchalantly. I mean, it wasn't like he was out there just yelling and being bombastic. It was just a very calm way of showing this is what happens to society when it breaks down and it leaves the Word of God. And this particular social issue is one that has been largely ignored, the issue of caregivers. It's been largely ignored. And yet this is the highest really mandate we have in our Christian ministry to each other, which is love to bear one another's burdens, love one another, you know, and yet we have not seen, we've outsourced a lot of it or whatever, and we've not seen the what this looks like fleshed out and for people who are doing this day in and day out, and then how to minister to them. And if one thing that was striking it through the coronavirus is that church has been kind of thrown into a blender of how we actually have church now. And ministering to people is becoming very, very difficult. We've been building up churches, but have we been building up the kingdom? And so this is where I'm hoping that through this unique outreach we have on this show and so forth, that we can be a source of encouragement and strength to caregivers in a way they can understand and understand the gospel. But I'm glad that you this tugged at your ear. Now, are you a caregiver now or have been?
No, I have not been.
Give it time, Damon.
Like
you love somebody, you'll be one. You live long enough, you'll need one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, we moved down here to help my grandmother get into a nursing home, but my uncle stepped up and moved in with her. I was curious, do you all have access to that How Then Shall We Live? Was it an audio or a video movie?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, okay.
Yeah, I watched it on Amazon Prime. Don't tell Jeff Bezos it's on there because they may take it off. Covertly watch it. But it's a 10-part video series you can watch. They're only 30-minute episodes each, but it gives you a really strong understanding of how we got here. Why are we even having these kinds of conversations?
I want my dad to watch it because his wife's a history buff.
I would recommend every one of us watch it.
An atheist. Yeah.
Every one of us watch it. And it's slow. It's a little dated, but it doesn't matter. It's accurate. And he just explains when you have a humanist worldview, then, you know, things like abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, all those things become a logical step. But when you have a biblical worldview of the value of life, the dignity of each person, and you see God working in that, it's a game changer. That's what this show is about, to help caregivers stay anchored in Scripture. And we can even give thanks while facing horrific things. Damon, I thank you for calling very much. Thanks for listening to the show. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. And we're glad that you're with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is John Butler, producer of Hope for the Caregiver, and I have learned something that you probably all know, that Gracie, his wife, lost her legs many, many years ago and started a prosthetic limb outreach ministry called Standing with Hope. And recently, they ended up with a rather unique and unexpected partner. Peter had a conversation with Gracie, and take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic over in Nashville, and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country, that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling, you see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms.
Everything.
When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry. Because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. And so these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and the other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limbs, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.
He will be strong to deliver me safe. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord.
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 The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. That is my wife, Gracie, with Russ Taff, The Joy of the Lord. And this is our goal for us as caregivers, is that we can embrace and effuse the joy of the Lord in whatever circumstances we're in. And that's going to be hard. It's a lot of work. It's intentional. You don't accidentally do this. You intentionally do this. And our scripture today was Daniel 6:10. And he knew that he'd been set up. Daniel knew this. He knew that he was set up for this. And he went into his house, where he went to the upper chamber and the windows opened toward Jerusalem. He opened them, knelt down 3 times a day and prayed, even though the document said that he could not. And he did it anyway, and he gave thanks before God. And he knew what was the consequences. And the king was set up because of the deep state, if you will. And I don't care if that angers people or not, because there's always a deep state, because there's always the clipboard carriers, I call them, who love to just tell people how to live their lives. But we already have had somebody to lay that out for us and live that life for us, and that's Christ, and that is through his word of saying, this is what it looks like. And I don't need the clipboard carriers to do this, but they set him up. And the trivia question today was, who was that king? And if you're just now joining the show, you're welcome to call in and say that. 888-589-8840. We've already had the answer, but some people joined the show halfway through the show, and you're certainly welcome to call in. But who was that king? What was his name? And he was upset about it. He realized that he had gotten snookered on this. But Daniel gave thanks. Now, as a caregiver, let me ask you, are you giving thanks? One time, a friend of mine told me this, a little technique, because when your mind races, and if you've been a caregiver for any length of time, and you could challenge me on this if you have not done this, but there are times when your mind just races and you can't go to sleep, and you are just, you know, going 90 miles an hour thinking about, what about this? What about this? What about this? What am I going to do about this? Now, if that's never happened to you as a caregiver, give it time, because it will. If it has happened to you, if it's certainly, you know, let us know. 888-589-8840. But he said, look, when you get in those points, go through the alphabet and take the first letter, each letter, and then come up with something that starts with that letter that you're thankful for. And watch what it does to calm your mind. There's something about being grateful that calms your mind. There's something about thanks, giving thanks, that calms your mind. It is right there in Scripture. And we're commanded to do it. Give thanks for everything. In all things, give thanks. Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, good morning. How are you feeling?
Hi, I'm good. I'm the one who used to be a caregiver, but that's why I called, was your alphabet thankfulness suggestion. And I didn't start listening to you till after I was no longer caregiving. Excuse me. But I still do that because I'm writing a book about caregiving. But I think those thankful things that were happening to us when we were a caregiver help us later. And one of them on R, I wrote down relief. For people who stayed with my mom and let me have a break. And then I remembered this one instance where a family member did that, but they called me on the spur of the moment. And I had stripped my mom's bed and my bed, and I was going to just do the laundry and put them right back on instead of folding them. Sorry. I had something going on that day. Anyway, so a family member called and said, I'll stay with mom. I'll be there in 15 minutes. And anyway, the bottom line was, even though he was going to help me, I felt resentment because they didn't have, respect for my time. They thought, well, you're not doing anything. You're just always, and I was in a hurry and I was watering outside and I stepped in some mud, and I thought, okay, do I wash my foot or do I get mom? You know, I had to get my mom ready for when anybody came. But the resentment that I felt when I was a caregiver was, you know, just an example for nowadays, too, that don't let that resentment fester, because they were kind of inconsiderate even when they were helping in certain ways, you know, they didn't understand, and it's just because they didn't understand. But so I thought, you know, it wouldn't hurt really to have a two alphabetic records, one for emotions and one for just things that you're thankful for in general. Like my
well,
first
resentment
thing on my-
I've found comes from. Do you, by the way, do you have your radio on?
No.
Okay, sorry, just a little echo. Resentment, I found, comes from unmet expectations. Unmet yeah. expectations are embryonic resentments. They're going to grow into resentments. When you feel obligated, it's going to grow into resentment. And nobody's going to be able to help you in a way that is going to be spot on, particularly if you've got any kind of length into this, because you're used to a routine, you're used to the way things go. And I think for the challenge for us as caregivers is to stop putting these expectations, to be gracious when people help at all, and educate. You ever heard that saying that a lot of salespeople hear, you know, that the customer's always right?
Yeah.
You ever hear that? I firmly reject that. The customer's rarely right. The customer is rarely even aware of what to even ask, but they're still always the customer. And it's the job of the salesperson to help educate on why this product or service means something to that customer. It's not the customer's always right. I think that's a kind of a cheesy way of looking at it. And so it's our job as caregivers to help educate those around us who have any kind of desire to help, even if they just do it poorly. But if they have any kind of desire to help, then it's our job to educate them, be gracious, and accept that desire on their part as a launching point. And build those relationships, because it's so easy to say, well, you didn't do it right, or you presumed upon me. You just, you know, you did this, and we get all feeling sorry for ourselves. But when we change, when we flip that and we start thinking a different way, it's amazing how it can help diffuse that resentment. When's your book going to come out, Lynn?
When I get it done. But can I
okay.
say one thing about that day?
You can say one thing about that day.
Yeah, my family, that particular family member had an attitude. It was kind of like, I'm doing you a favor. This is how long I've I'm going to give you. I'm coming right now. Be ready. That was why I kind of had resentment. And yet, you know, you do have to be thankful when you get a break. So, yeah.
Well, and I've noticed that a lot of times I'll have an attitude. And, you know, and I get my own attitude with it. I think that again, every one of these opportunities is an opportunity for us to go back to the Word of God. Okay, so what does God have to say about it? See, this is what we have as believers, is that we have the ability to ask that question. Well, what does God have to say about it? Not what does the government have to say about it? Not what does my congressman have to say about it? Not what the media has to say about it? What does God say about this? And he says, be thankful in all things. And we don't have to like it. God never said, hey, here's where the path is, and you're going to like it. He doesn't say that. He said, it's going to be hard sometimes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But the valley of the shadow of death can be a very, very, very long valley. And he said, you're going to have troubles in this world. You don't have to like it. He said, give thanks for it. Now, that is our authority. And if you're basing your life on that, versus however you feel at the moment, or the attitude of someone else, or your attitude, or any other arbitrary thing that's going on, you're going to get blown all over the place. But if you can anchor yourself, ask that question, well, what does God have to say about this? And that is a powerful starting point for us as believers. But Lynn, when your book comes out, give us a call back. We'll talk about your book. How about that?
All right, great. Thanks.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Steve in Georgia. Steve, good morning, Steve. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Peter.
Tell me what you're thankful for today.
I'm thankful for
something specific. Something specific, because, well, something very specific.
Okay. I'm thankful for the opportunity to give care to my mother-in-law before she passed. And the opportunity to care for other caregivers, that's what I do, as a ministry, is to go and to let caregivers share, how their days are going, and then to lift them up in prayer along with the one that they're caring for. And then to show that I care, I love to sing hymns. And so many times, the people that they're caring for, they might not remember somebody's name, or they might not remember what happened just a few minutes ago. But I can start singing in the garden with them, and they'll sing along, and most of them remember all the verses. It gives me an opportunity to let the caregiver to see that that person that's had such a difficult time that morning, that there's still joy in the Lord.
Well, that is great to hear, Steve, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. And you are in Blackshear, Georgia. Where is that?
It's about halfway between Savannah and Macon, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that area. All right, now look, you guys got a pretty good election coming up in January for a runoff. You're going to be a part of that, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Stand firm on it. Stand firm, baby. Stand firm. Yes, sir. Steve, thank you so much for the call and for that word of encouragement. And keep singing to caregivers, okay? The power of music.
Amen.
And
I recommend to the caregivers, ever since I started listening to you, I've recommended this to each one of the people that are caring for their loved ones.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for all that you do and the encouragement that you are.
Well, thank you very much for those are very kind words, and I appreciate it. And you keep singing to them. I did a CD called Songs for the Caregiver, and I included a lot of different hymns. You can download it on any of the streaming sites. And if you want a physical copy of it, just go to our website, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Just click on it, and you can see how you can get a physical copy of it as well. It's just me playing instrumental music for about half of it. Gracie sings a few songs on it. And I got other special guest friends of mine that sang on it as well and played on it. And I think you'll just like it. It's very calming. And it puts hymns that you'll know. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We caregivers don't know that sometimes. We think that Jesus loves our loved one, but what about us? I want you to know that he loves you. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees, and that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com. I'm forgiven. Now I have a reason for living. Jesus keeps giving and giving. Giving till my heart overflows. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger. 888-589-8840. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for as a caregiver? And don't get, if you want to call in and just give all these ethereal answers, I'm thankful for, you know, these glowing things that sounds right now. Just get real specific. Sometimes it could be thankful for just a good pair of shoes. You know? But the first book I wrote was Wear Comfortable Shoes as a Caregiver. Sometimes you can be thankful for just the simple things. You don't have to be sound real spiritual or anything else. Sometimes let's just get down, right down where it just meets us in those deep places. I'm thankful for a bowl of soup. I'm thankful for, you know, I'll never forget. Gracie was in the hospital one time during one of her mini surgeries, and she was, it was pretty rough. The kids were sent away to grandparents, and they were, and I was back and forth to the house getting stuff for Gracie, clean, you know, gowns or whatever. And I went back up to I was on the way back up to the hospital, and some friends of mine called and they said, stop by the house. We have something for you. So I did. And they met me at the door and they pointed me to the kitchen table. They said, your kids are safe. Gracie's safe at the hospital. She's got all kinds of nurses and so forth around her. You sit down here and we're going to stand guard over you so you can be safe. And they gave me a bowl of vegetable beef soup and some cornbread. One of the most wonderful gifts I've ever received. And I sat there and I had a bowl of soup and some cornbread. And for those of you who understand the value of good homemade vegetable beef soup and cornbread, you know what that means. I didn't need anything exotic, but I had friends that said, sit down and have a bowl of soup. We're going to stand guard over you, and you're safe here. Those are things that we can be thankful for, little things like that, that mean the world to us as caregivers. And if you're not a caregiver, can you do that for a caregiver? Can you do that for someone? Take them some soup. You know, I didn't need, you know, a 5-course meal with all kinds of things. I didn't want that. I just wanted something simple. And they knew this. They knew that I was not complex in the needs that I had. Sometimes it's just a bowl of soup. Can you be thankful for that in the midst of whatever storm you're traveling in? This is the journey for us as caregivers. And Daniel, in our verse today, in Daniel 6, he knew that the consequences were dire. He knew this was going to cost him. And he went up and did it anyway. He gave thanks anyway. Betsy Tin Boone, they're in the middle of a Holocaust. She knew she probably wasn't going to get out of there alive, and she was right. She didn't. But she told her sister, Corey, give thanks for the fleas in this hut. She did it. And you can just go through place after place in scripture and in history. Paul, chained up, giving thanks. And great leaders of our faith giving thanks in the midst of horrific circumstances. It's not about feeling good.
It's about being obedient to what Scripture says to do and recognizing that we have a higher authority than we could ever imagine. And this is the worldview, the biblical worldview that this whole station, this network offers, and we're specifically offering it to caregivers. I reject categorically what the media in this country and the state in this country tells us how to think and do as caregivers. I reject them. They are not my authority. They do not know, and they do not believe and ascribe to the Word of God as a collective. And you can see it. They're openly hostile to it. And that's why we have these horrific discussions about, you know, end of life or infanticide, abortion, all these kinds of things that are going on in the United States of America. Because nobody is listening to what God says about life. They don't want to listen to this. And that is where we are. But we're going to do this on this network, on this show, this message, because what does God have to say about it? And that is our sole purpose on this. All right, Adam in Texas. Sally Mills, Texas. Adam, good morning. How are you feeling?
I am feeling blessed.
Feeling blessed. Who are you caring for? Are you caring for somebody?
I work at a standalone ER in urgent care, so I care for a lot of people. I do X-ray and CT there, and the biggest part of my life that has changed me was 13 years ago. I suffered a brain injury the summer after my freshman year in college, and I was in a coma for 28 days, and my four-year degree turned into 6.5 years. And I got to take a class after I should have originally graduated in 4 years that I met my wife in. And because of that, we have three wonderful children now. And I have the line of work that I've chosen now because of that time frame.
How did your family, how did your wife, do you have residual impact from your traumatic brain injury?
Yeah, I have a short-term memory loss here and there because of that. And that was another comment I was going to make about trying to go to bed at night and racking my head around, what about this, what about that? That's one of the benefits of the brain injury. I don't have worries as much because I can just clear my head.
What about your wife? How does she deal with it?
She gets perturbed at times, but I believe that's a husband-wife thing right there all the time, anytime.
Well, there's a particular challenges that go along with caring for somebody with a traumatic brain injury, and I would highly recommend that you tell her about the show and let her listen to it, because there are challenges that you may not be aware of that she's shouldering, and her mind is going to race at 100 miles an hour. And a traumatic brain injury...
She's the one that told me about the show, so I know she listens.
Well, good, good, good. Well,
she's a registered nurse as well.
Well, then she's got it going on, and you, you continue doing what you're doing, and thank you for listening to the show and for calling in and for the work that you're doing with these folks with X-rays and so forth. You stay safe. You know the drill of in dealing with this virus. And you're dealing with a lot of patients.
Absolutely.
And so forth, but you stay safe and you keep anchoring yourself on the Word of God. And I appreciate very much you calling, Adam. I really do. And let your wife know that, you know, we recognize her journey as well. And we value it and we appreciate the journey she has, because it's not easy. And it's not that you're trying to be anything, but it's she shoulders a burden, and she's also a registered nurse. So she's got a lot of things going on, and you let her know that she is always welcome to call into the show as well, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for listening. Be thankful in all things. Be thankful in all things. Daniel did this, and he knew he was going to go. He was going to pay a price for it, and he did. I mean, he put him in there, and he didn't know what God was going to do. And as they lowered him into this pit where these lions were, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that must have been like for him? He had no, and then they sealed it up. And the king didn't sleep all night long. That was our trivia question. Who was the king? His name was Darius. And he didn't sleep all night because he liked Daniel. And afterwards, he sent all those guys that set Daniel up to the very pit. I think he sent their family members too. You can correct me on that if I'm wrong. 888-589-8840. But I think he sent their family members as well. And he was pretty hot about it because he realized he'd been duped. But Daniel stayed fast to the Word of God. If we don't anchor ourselves in this, what are we going to listen to in those dark moments of the night? In the dark night of the soul, as Watchman Nee says. What are we going to listen to? If a family with a special needs child is struggling and they're at their wits' end, are they going to listen to the Word of God spoken clearly to them? Are they going to listen to the governor of Virginia who said, put a child aside and we'll have a discussion about that later? I was talking to a lady just yesterday. She has two children. Both of them have gone through, and one of them's in the middle of it right now, with night terrors. And she can't get any sleep. She's struggling. When people can't get any sleep, they're at the end of their rope. And if we don't speak with clarity to this, in a way that they can understand, who are they going to listen to? That's why we do this show. And I'm asking for you to help us do it better. Do it more. Get it out there more. I don't want any other voice from the world and from the left of this country to speak to fellow caregivers. Because unless they're bringing the authority of the Word of God, what are they going to say? What are they going to say to me? What are they going to say to you? The state, if you will, in this country has nothing to offer other than just platitudes. But the Word of God is life. But we have to be able to understand it. We have to be able to speak it clearly to people in their circumstances. You know, when Martin Luther came along and all these other reformers, Huss and all these others, they translated the Word of God. And the church and the state were all wrapped up into one. And boy, that just frosted. I mean, some of these guys paid the ultimate for it. They were burned for doing it. But most of the people had no idea what the Word of God said. They had to depend on a priest to say it. It was in Latin. And when they translated in their own language, they had it for themselves to be able to understand it in a way they could understand. That's what we're doing as caregivers. If you'll pardon the expression, maybe I'm just helping translate some of this into caregiver, because I speak fluent caregiver. But the good news is, it's our Savior's native tongue. That is his native tongue as caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next week. Imagine a parent at the end of a rope caring for a special needs child, and that parent could get a daily phone call from a caring person, breaking through the isolation and checking in on that stressed mom or that stressed dad. What kind of difference do you think that would make? Imagine going to the grocery store in peace while knowing a sentry was on duty for your loved one at home. Being able to look at them on your phone, talking to them at any time from anywhere, even if the power goes out. Imagine being able to safely monitor your loved one in an assisted facility, even during the quarantine. Imagine a system that guaranteed your privacy so much it provides a $1 million guarantee. These and so many more services are just one click away for you as a caregiver. I've tested this out in my home, and the time is now for caregivers to rethink how we give care. With 92% of people stating they want to age in their own home, caregivers are facing a daunting challenge. As the COVID-19 has made us reevaluate placing loved ones in assisted living, we need to caregive smarter. And that's why I want to tell you about Constant Companion. Constant Companion is using tech to offload the stress of caregivers. Can't take everything away. It's not a replacement for the human touch, but it is one more tool for your tool belt to help you live a stronger, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life as a caregiver. How about checking this out? Companion 24/7. Companion 24/7. companion247.com. That's www.companion247.com. www.companion247.com. Use that promo code CAREGIVER for a special discount. The promo code is CAREGIVER. I'm telling you, this is life-changing for you and me as a caregiver. I'm using this right now. I want you to as well. This is Peter Rosenberger. Join us at hopeforthecaregiver.com.
Some of you know the remarkable story of Peter's wife, Gracie. And recently, Peter talked to Gracie about all the wonderful things that have emerged from her difficult journey. Take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling. You see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms. Everything. When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry. Because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. These men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limb, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie. Take my hand.